ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
If you could, you'd give your kids the world, right? I know I would. But these days, everything feels like it's getting more expensive. Groceries, housing, just keeping the lights on, especially if you don't have rooftop solar, as we were just talking about. So maybe our kids will have to settle for as much of the world as we can afford to give them. Well, new research suggests having kids isn't really more expensive than it was a few decades ago. So why does it feel like it is? In a moment, I'll unpack with you just how much it costs in today's dollars to raise a child to 18, and you will hear how one mum's dedication to her daughter's dream took her all the way to the Olympics. But I also really want to hear your story this morning. What is the best money you ever spent on your kids? If you're listening on the ABC Listen app, just hit the call-in button and tell me what the best money is that you ever spent on your kids. Maybe it wasn't a big amount. Maybe it was footy boots that launched a love affair with sport, or the tutor that finally got them to appreciate the beauty of mathematics, or a trip overseas that opened their eyes to a world bigger than themselves. And with me is Associate Professor Ben Phillips, author of the study that looked into how much it costs to raise a kid. He's from the ANU Centre for Social Policy Research. Ben, welcome to Life Matters.
Hello.
Tell me, I think we need to start with the bad news. What does it cost to raise a kid to 18 in 2025?
Yeah, so the first kid, roughly about $350,000. The second kid, about $250,000. So a fair bit of money. Another way of looking at it would be maybe 15% of your after-tax income for the first and about 10% after-tax income for the second.
So my understanding of, at least the way I read your study, was that it is not that much more than it was, say, 25 years ago. But we talk constantly about the cost of living. How can both of these things be true?
Look, what the research showed is that the cost of raising a child hasn't really changed as a share of your income, at least since about 2000, 2001, when the University of Melbourne's Hilda survey first started. So not too much of a change there. But look, I think maybe I'm a bit cynical, but we do talk an awful lot about cost of living, and I think maybe it's a little bit overblown, and the media talks about it a lot, so we hear about it a lot. So perhaps it's more the perception of the cost of living having changed than the actual reality. Obviously, that doesn't mean that it's not expensive to raise kids. It is expensive today, and it was expensive in the past, but I'm not sure it's all that much different.
Yeah, fair enough. So, and we sort of get some economies of scale where you have 15% that you're spending on the first kid, but maybe slightly less on subsequent kids, just really cementing that inferiority complex that younger kids sometimes have with their older siblings. But we're also having fewer kids.
Yes. So, I mean, people often align it up with the cost of living or the cost of kids being the driver, and maybe sometimes that's the perception. But I think it's probably some longer-term things that have gone on. So, for example, back in the 70s and so on, around that time, contraception became much more prevalent. So obviously that means you have fewer kids, or usually does. Beyond that, we've also got workforce participation amongst females has increased substantially. So people have got a lot more choices, particularly women have got a lot more choices. So they're still having kids, but they're not having as many kids. So maybe in the 70s you might have had three or four kids. Now you're more likely to have one or two kids rather than three or four kids.
Maybe she thought she was only going to have one, but she actually got twins. Christine, tell me about the best money you spent on your boys.
Okay. Well, I wasn't very good at math, and I had one boy who was really good, but the other one who was struggling, and these are twin boys. So I decided to get maths coaching for them twice a week, even at one stage, and it's the best money I ever spent. Both went off and did electrical apprenticeships, and one went on to university, won a scholarship and went on to university and is an electrical engineer. The other one is high up in the electrical trade. And the tradie fella said, with electrical apprentices, don't bother coming if you can't do maths.
Christine, I can hear the pride in your voice. Thank you so much for the call. Ben, do we have a sense of where you get the biggest return on investment with what you spend on your kids?
Look, I don't think so. I think it's probably just the love that you have for your children is probably what I would think of as a father of three is the main area of return. Look, there's not much choice you have about it once you've had kids. You obviously can't take them back. And I think most people, if you were to ask them, they would probably, it'd be very unusual for anybody to say, look, I wish I didn't have, you know, my second kid or even my first kid or my third kid. I think we all love them. They can be trouble at times, and they obviously are quite expensive. But I think the benefits clearly outweigh the costs for most people anyway.
This is Life Matters on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor talking to Associate Professor Ben Phillips from the ANU Centre for Social Policy Research about just how much it costs to raise a kid these days. I've also got a couple of texts here. Tara says, the best money I spent is for my son to do little athletics and state championships. He wants to go to the Olympics. He's gone to state championships in track, field and cross country. He's more confident and has more friends, which really is something that my next guest has in common, Robin Titmus. Her name might sound familiar because you would have seen her cheering on her daughter, Ariane, in the 2020 and 2024 Olympics. Robin, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you, Tegan. Thanks for having me.
Tell me about what it took to get Ariane to the Olympics, because it really was a whole of family investment.
It was. And look, it's funny when you have children, and this is of great interest, you know, the expense and being as a parent, being prepared for that is one of the things is allowing your children, I think, when they're young, to experience a lot of different activities, sport or music or dance, whatever it might be. And to see your children be happy, I think that's really important. And both our daughters, Ariane and her sister Mia, they were busy little girls when they were younger, and we were in Tasmania, and there was dancing, and we had property. So I have a love of horses, so they had some ponies. They got involved in pony club, but we'd always had a swimming pool at home, and the girls would love to get into the pool and invite friends over. And so both of them really enjoyed that, and that led to joining a little regional swimming club and training sessions and competition for fun. But they were still doing other sports as well. You know, they were involved in dancing, and Mia was involved in track and field. And then it sort of clicked. They hit an age where they want to get more competitive and they're enjoying it. And, you know, they really need to then make a choice if they want to take something on more seriously. And Ariane did that at probably about age 11 or 12. So, you know, we sold horses. Her sister pursued track and field with little athletics as well as swam. But Ariane decided she wanted to put everything into swimming. And it was at that point, I think, when she made that decision and said to Steve and I really want to swim. I love competing. I want to see how far I can go. Can I move clubs? Can I go to a really good coach? So it was probably in those, you know, early teenage years. And then it's just supporting your kids through that journey when they show so much commitment and dedication and their absolute love of it. And as parents, you know, it just makes your heart full when you see what they're experiencing going through an interest that they love so much.
But you moved states for her swimming career.
We did. And I look back now and think, wow, that was 10 years ago. And the reality was, being from Tasmania and her winning national gold medals sort of at 13 and then again at 14 and being named on the Australian team to go to Singapore for the Junior World Championships, we understood the challenges that would be there for her from a competition perspective, from coaching. Also, Tassie's not really geared up for swimming, you know, 12 months at a year with indoor council pools, and it was very expensive as parents through the council system. And so we realised that for her to pursue an international career that we would have to pack up and move to to a place where swimming is, you know, it's in your blood, and Southeast Queensland is exactly where we chose based on, you know, the facilities in Southeast Queensland through the college system and the coaching, but also the squads. The squads were really important, and making friends and being really where the nucleus of swimming is in Australia.
Robin, I really want to hear more of your and Ariane's story, but first, Tim has called in. Tim, you're still spending money. What's your son's thing?
Good morning, Tegan. Thanks for the program. Our son went to the local light car club on the Come and Try Day and showed some genuine talent. So since then, it's been buy a car for him to race, car trailer to pull it with, upgrade the work ute. I reckon we put off a retirement about 5 years so far.
My goodness, that sounds like a really expensive hobby, Tim. Have you ever totaled up how much you reckon you've spent?
Oh, 50K finance, 10 grand for the car trailer, and about 6 grand so far on the car without modifying it yet.
Well, hopefully he wins some races and you get that money back. Tim, thank you so much for the call. Robin, it's a bit crass. I sort of said that to Tim just then and, you know, oh, yeah, I hope he, like, kind of wins his money back. But there is a sense of how much you invest and what the payoff is. Ariane's won 8 gold medals. Do you reckon that's a return on investment?
Oh, who would have thought when we made the decision to move? You know, the last thing we wanted was to put pressure on her that she, you know, then had to go on and achieve. But thank goodness we did. Thank goodness we made that choice. And, you know, that meant packing up and leaving full-time jobs in Tasmania and living separately. Steve lived separately from us for 6 months because he still had a permanent role in Tassie and had to sell the house, and I moved to Southeast Queensland with the girls into a little apartment. And I'm just, you know, so thankful that we decided as parents to give her that opportunity. And, you know, we've enjoyed a wonderful experience with her along the way. And, you know, and her sister me has been able to witness that and see her compete overseas. But I must say, it wasn't easy. There were times where you had to buy a $400 swimming suit which she had one ripped literally in the start of a race. And, you know, you would have them for Christmas presents and birthday presents, and the family holiday was centred around going to swimming events. So you really do have to, you sacrifice a bit along the way, but it's funny how you make it happen. And that's why, you know, we've got parents, two parents working, is to provide for their kids. And as parents, you know, I think you sign up for that when you decide to have them. And so we're just so thankful that we took the gamble and made the move for our whole family.
Ben, I'm listening to Robin's story and just thinking about, obviously there's expenses in there, like things that you shell out money for, but there's so much that you can't really quantify that you're spending on your kids, even if it's not money. How did you account for that in your work?
Are trying to do this. The obvious way to do it is what's called the budget standards approach. That's where you literally try and come up with a basket of goods and services you need for one kid or two kids or however many kids you've got. That probably seems the logical approach. The way we did it though was we use what's called the living standards approach. And with that, you look at, say, a couple with no kids, they might have an income of $100,000. And then you try and work out statistically using financial stress measures how much more income they'd need to have the same level of financial stress or the same living standards if they had one kid or two kids or three kids. And that's roughly where we get this sort of 15% concept or number from for the first kid and 10% for the next one. So it's a statistical approach, not perfect. None of them are perfect, but that's the way that we chose to go with this research.
Listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor. I'm with Associate Professor Ben Phillips, who's done research into what it costs to raise a kid from 0 to the age of 18 these days, roughly 15% of your income, give or take, depending on how much you earn. And Robin Titmus, who is Ariane Titmus's mum, yes, the Olympian, on what she and her family sacrificed to basically give Ariane the best shot at success as she could, and definitely, no matter how you cut it, that one paid off. Andrew, what's the best money you've spent on your kids?
The best outlay we ever made was about 3 weeks after she was born. We bought shares in Commonwealth Bank in her name, and then two more lots of them after that. Not large amounts, but given the appreciation over the years, it's paid for many years of education and overseas trips and all sorts of other things. So it was a lucky choice, but very, very worthwhile.
That's a really clever one. Andrew, thanks so much for the call. Yeah, Ben, we keep sort of using this, invoking this term return on investment. In Andrew's case, it's quite literal.
Yeah, certainly was in that case. That's quite wise and quite savvy. Not everybody, of course, has the opportunity to go and get shares. And another approach that you do have with government is that if you're low income, the government does provide some what are called family payments, which to some extent can pay for not all the kids' expenses, but a reasonable share of them. So there are different ways for funding children, but that's certainly one way and quite a clever way of going about it.
You're also sending me some beautiful texts. Paula says, the best thing you can give your child is your time. That's a luxury many people don't have now, but they don't really need extravagance. We only had one child, as we only had one secure income, and it felt it was better to give one child a great start. We invested in music, maths, bushwalking, and just doing things together. Another says, the best money I spent for my kids was on my own therapy and learning how to be the kind of parent I wanted to be for them. Intergenerational change for good feels amazing and powerful and is a gift for all of us. And JJ says, the best money I ever spent on my children was for them to visit Ireland and connect with their families and their roots. It gave them a better perspective of their lives in a multicultural Australia. I love the way you're interpreting this in different ways. And Robin, I'm interested to know from you, there's no doubt that you and your whole family made a huge sacrifice for Ariane. Were you ever worried, or did she ever talk about feeling pressured to perform because of the level of sacrifice?
No, and that was a really big priority for us in that at the time, Steve and I camouflaged it into a sea change and an exciting adventure and, you know, being able to provide opportunities longer term for employment or university where we could stay together as a family unit rather than potentially the girls having to leave us if we stayed in Tasmania. But at the end of the day, the reason for the move was because of the opportunity for her with the swimming. But I, as a parent, am so, I suppose, proud of the fact that to this day, Ariane says that she never found it, she never felt any pressure. And so that makes me feel really good about how we did it. And because that's the last thing you want is for your kids to feel that the family is sacrificing and mum and dad are, you know, running them around to training and spending money on them and then expecting results. And look, and I think going through the whole journey of sport too has been wonderful for them to grow as individuals and to learn a lot about life, you know, learning how to be organised and self-motivated and overcoming challenges and injury. And you know, although we invested financially to make the move, I pick up on the point earlier about investing your time and parenting. We then went to, once she became independent herself, we went to more of a supportive role and providing a home where she was able to switch off of a night, walk in from training and forget about swimming if she wanted. And there were nights where we didn't discuss it. We would allow her to just be a kid at home and enjoy that sort of lifestyle. So I think it changes too as they grow up. But yeah, it's been a wonderful, wonderful journey.
Gail, the lesson for your daughter didn't cost money, but it taught her a lot about money. You can tell me this story.
Sure did. So she is really, really good with money as a result of my husband and she used to go out collecting aluminium cans. And if you got a big sackful, you took them to the recycling place and they gave you money. And that money was all hers. So she used to save it and then she'd go and she'd buy a doll or whatever it was she wanted at the time, or a CD as she got older. And that has given her such an appreciation, not only of money, but of littering. Because if you ever look around, there are always empty Coke cans, or I shouldn't say that on the ABC, empty cans of various types, left on walls, left behind plants, just on the grass, on parks. So it was a double-edged sword, but the greatest thing was this appreciation of money. Because like from when she was 4 or 5, they'd go out together and look for aluminium cans.
That is wonderful. Money literally on the ground. Gail, thank you so much for that call. And thank you for your texts here as well. One says, the best money I spent on my daughter was to support her exchange student experience to Germany. She came home with a second language, loads of confidence and independence. She also had another mother to take her through those difficult late teen years. I was very grateful for that. And her host mother was very aware of the big service she'd given me. Sonia says the best money I spent for our daughter is giving up work to go part-time to help her with homework and do extra tutoring with her. She's dyslexic and coping so much better. She's the youngest of 3, and I said to my husband, we will never get this time again. So, Ben, I know that you're normally number crunching, but looking through the lens of what you've discovered, hearing these stories today, what's the advice to parents on how to view the money they spend on their kids?
I'm not quite
just
sure
to put you right on the spot there.
I'm more of the number crunching guys here, sort of the total cost of a kid. Look, I think the advice I'd give is that I don't think that it's probably quite on the monetary side. I think for most people, that you really do have the choice there of whether you want to devote your time more to kids or whether you want to devote your time more to career and other opportunities. It is challenging to do both, but it is also quite possible, and a lot of Australian families are obviously doing that. I don't think it's probably quite as expensive as people will make it out to be. I know the numbers do sound quite large, but you know, I say a number like it's $350,000. That's a lot of money, obviously, but they're also talking about the typical family earning about probably $2.5 million over the course of 18 years or so. So I think it's quite doable. We've been doing it in the past when we were a poorer country. So don't let that put you off too much if you can.
And Robin, thinking about, we've spoken a lot about Ariane today, and you're obviously so proud of her. I wonder how Mia felt about the sacrifices the family made.
And look, that's a really important consideration, and something that when we made the decision, it was the family making the decision, which is, you know, would Ariane move up to Queensland on her own and maybe board at a college, or what did we, the four of us, feel was the best option? And we were unanimous in the move. And that was Mia's buy-in as well, because she then could see where she would fit into this, and she would be able to then pave her way in a new city and a new state as well. But she also could witness the love that her sister had for this sport and how committed she was and how talented she was. But you do really need to consider all your children and how you can give to each and every one of them in a different way, whatever that might be, which path they decide to take. And, you know, we had countless times where we would take the girls to Hobart, for instance, for swimming, and then Mia needed to be back in Launceston 2.5 hours away the next morning for a track and field event at Little Athletics, and her father got up early with her and drove her back, and then she I think won a silver medal, and then they jumped in the car and came back and she swam in Hobart again. So look, it's something that you really do need to think about. You don't want to not show favouritism, but maybe focus on one child if you have more than one, and make it a family experience. And luckily, you know, Mia's never had a jealous bone in her body. She's always been so happy for her sister, and that makes us pretty proud as well that we've been able to get through that journey with Mia not feeling like she was on the outer, that she was very included in Ariane's career too.
Robin, Ben, thank you both so much for sharing your experience and wisdom with us today. Robin Titmus is the very proud mum to Olympian Ariane Titmus and to Mia. And Associate Professor Ben Phillips is from ANU's Centre for Social Policy Research. And I've just loved your texts this morning as well. One says, my mum set up an investment account instead of gifts and buying coffees. Kids are 5 and 7 and now they each have $2,000 plus. Mum buys gifts at the op shop instead of new gifts. And she spends her time for the kids and cooks for them with love. My beautiful mum is so generous.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.